Welcome to the San Antonio Fancast. My name is Royce and I have a really bad cold, and me going a long time on that intro, not good for you, not good for me, not good for my throat. But thanks for joining. Appreciate y'all listening. I'm joined today by the gruesome twosome. To my left, weatherman over here. To my right, that's Rafa. Rafa, how are you?
Pretty good after yesterday. I'm feeling good today.
Yeah, I think it's going around. By the way, that's goalie coach at the collegiate level, Rafa. And it feels like Hollywood Squares down there. For you young kids, Hollywood Squares was a TV show that I used to watch when I was sick at home from school. But below me is Jonathan. With bluishmoon.com, local reporter for SAFC and all things soccer. Jonathan, how are you?
Doing all right. I haven't heard Hollywood Squares mentioned in probably a couple years now. I remember being bored and watching the Game Show Network when I was younger. So I've seen it. I remember Tom Bergeron hosting. Don't really remember how it worked.
Yeah, brother, I remember when it was live. So there's an age difference there. That's a tough scene. Yikes. Anyway,
as long as you're dating yourself, not me.
You know what? I do that a lot. I work in an office with, you know, a lot of people my age and then kids that are 10 years younger. And yeah, I'll mention something and they just look at me like I have, you know, an arm coming out of my forehead. Like, what's a landline? Yeah, exactly. What's LimeWire? Yeah, exactly. So anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. Not that you needed to go through the banter all over again. We're back. You know, thanks for coming back with us. We just had family stuff, man. Easter, youth sports. It's tax season, so Harry hasn't been available a lot. So, and we got a lot to cover. So let's start now. Let's try to get into it. First thing we're going to talk about, our transactions while we've been gone over these last 3 weeks. The biggest one, Mo Abu retiring. Mo Abu, man, midfield stalwart for SAFC for the last three seasons, champion, forever champion, and just kind of out of the blue decided, hang him up. We're done. Jonathan, you have anything on that?
Yeah, going back a couple weeks in the aftermath of this, both Carter Manley and Alan Marcina, we talked to them the very next game after it was announced, because I think it was announced on a Thursday afternoon or a Friday. And then SAFC played, I believe it would have been Monterey Bay. Both Manley and Marcina were saying, you know, yeah, this was a surprise. You know, it was great to have him on the team. And I think it's pretty obviously a surprise. You know, you wouldn't have someone signed and, you know, playing in preseason, played in the first, I think all of the first three or four matches, and then just decided, you know what, it's time to hang him up. And he had been obviously kind of in and out over the last year or so. I think he picked up an injury sort of toward the end of 2022. I think came back in the last match or two, particularly, you know, after PC had gone down as well. SAFC kind of needed him. So I think he might have been still nursing an injury a bit there, but doing what he could. And I guess last year he could just never establish fitness again. Seemed to be having a decent start to the season. Didn't have any hiccups that we saw. Just, you know, his minutes were limited, but now his minutes are going to be very limited because he's transitioning to family stuff. So all good to him. He's had a great career. He's played in some really interesting places. So congratulations to him on all he's achieved.
Absolutely. Well-deserved retirement. Unbelievable career. I mean, even playing for the academy, for the jersey you're wearing there at Man City. So it looks like you're wearing Man City.
Hey, it's just a polo.
You just
what I wore to practice today.
You just wear baby blue all the time. Rafi, have any thoughts on Mo?
He's going to be a key loss because, like I said, he brought a lot of experience and he was a key anchor for that championship team. And what's crazy for him to retire early, you know, he was playing actually pretty well these few games. And he didn't show, you know, he's had the history of the injuries. He didn't really show it. But I think, you know your body. And he's probably like, you know what, I don't really have anything left in the tank. And I think he didn't want a team from here on out. And decided, you know what, it's time to hang him up. But we got some good backups like Mohamed Omar, Like I said, Lambert, I think they'll pick up the slack, but he is going to be missed because he was, like I said, he was a real character there, you know, as far as with his leaderships and their, especially in the locker room. So, but good luck to him with, you know, and his future endeavors.
Also, for what it's worth, it just occurred to me, the only other player I can think of to retire a few matches into an SAFC season, Christian Bonilla in 2022.
Yeah, yeah.
We know how that year turned out. So I'm not saying all that's going to happen again, but if you want a good omen, sure, there you go. Have at it.
Yeah. I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what happened. So there's that. Moving on, we have an addition. So we had the subtraction. We also have an addition. We have brought in Machop Chole, most recently with Atlanta United, was out of contract, got brought in. So I don't know a lot about this player. I know he's tall. He's very athletic, very quick. But we do know one of us has spoken with him, and I'm going to throw it to you, Jonathan. Jonathan, what have you heard from Machop Chole, new San Antonio FC striker?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to talk to him earlier today at practice, thankfully. If not for that, I couldn't really tell you very much. But Alan Marcina, first of all, talked about, first and foremost, him being a good guy. And, you know, we asked him how he's been integrating to San Antonio. You know, he says he still kind of wants to get out there and explore a bit. I think there might be some sort of festival or party that started this week. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he can get out and really soak up some San Antonio culture if he gets a free day or something over the next few weeks.
And go to Oyster Bay.
Yeah. But also in terms of on the field, he talked about sort of him coming in and training with San Antonio. It's the first time since September, really, that he's been training. So I guess, you know, maybe an injury or just not being part of the Atlanta United 2 team or whatever it was. But so he's working his way back to full fitness. And also Marcina said, you know, he's still kind of finding his position in the team, how he fits in, how he clicks into place. So between the fitness and finding his role in the team, Marcina says he's probably a couple weeks away from being where they want him to be. But you know, that happens, like it's a couple weeks. At the same time, you kind of maybe we were talking about it before we came on here, the forward line right now is very unsettled. So the sooner the better, I would say.
100%. Yeah, forward line's definitely not settled. There's a lot of options there, but no one's really taken the reins like Marcina really wants to. And so, you know, we got to see who does it. That's the big thing we're lacking right now is goals. We've been shut out. Well, spoiler alert for when we talk about the results, but we've been shut out 2 games in a row. And for a Marcina team, for honestly a Spurs Sports Entertainment team, not good enough. So the more options come in, the better, and we'll see what succeeds. So real quick, Pepsi Red 456 is in here and is asking, why is Rafa a Man City fan? Why the Madrid kit? Rafa as a Man City fan, why the Madrid kit? Rafa likes terrible teams and terrible people, and he's a Madrid fan, so that's why. And Matt Gamez is in here, Oyster Bake. That doesn't mean anything. Doesn't tell me anything. Oyster Bake. Okay. That's a fun declarative statement. Thank you, Matthew. Hello, Zane. Good to have you in here. I miss 2022 San Antonio. That's the thing, though. If you're not evolving, you're dying, and you have to evolve, and that's the big thing. You couldn't keep everything the same. We tried to keep everything the same, and that's what happened in 2023, and that wasn't an acceptable year, so you got to evolve, and we're just trying to evolve. Yeah. We're trying to get better, and as I've said, it's not how you start, it's how you end. So we'll see how the season ends. We have some really top pieces. We'll see if we can put it together and put a good season together. All right, moving on. Let's talk about our SAFC family, SAFC alumni segment. We only have a couple mentions in here. We got drama. We got a drama. Big Sam. Out of favor with St. Louis City FC. God, that's a disaster. That's a disaster. St. Louis City FC. They didn't do City. They didn't do FC. They did both. Terrible. What is MLS doing? Anyway, it's get off that soapbox. Big Sam is out of favor with St. Louis FC, and their coaches even come out and kind of called him out on it, which you normally don't see. I don't think that's going to be helpful for anybody. Apparently, over the winter or over the offseason, I'm a club. I want to transfer. I want to play in Europe. That's my dream. So if a deal comes in that makes sense, please say yes. I want to go play in Europe. Reportedly, St. Louis City FC was offered 7 figures for Big Sam's talent to go overseas to go play for a team in Europe. And St. Louis said no. And Big Sam's apparently very upset at that, to the point where supposedly, according to the coach, he hasn't been giving 100%, even though he's their leading striker in goals. Shrug. He also makes 10 times less than their starting striker, and he's outscored their starting striker this season. Once again, shrug. So we're with you on this one, Big Sam. That's really poor from the organization, from St. Louis. And man, sometimes you just got to help out your, you know, help your employee out and help them grow. And he feels like they're just stunting his growth. So moving on, Jonathan. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'll just chime in really quickly. This may come as a shock to MLS, but there are bigger leagues than you. There are better teams that guys
can play at. The hell you say?
Yeah. I mean, from what I can say, like when he was here in 2022 and a bit in 2023, Sam always seemed like a pretty professional guy. You know, had his head screwed on straight, so to speak. So, you know, it's even if he is maybe slightly at fault here, if you could say maybe he's a bit unprofessional, I don't think it's unwarranted. Like, you want this move, and then if you don't get that, you say, okay, well, obviously you value me a lot. Can you kind of give me some, you know, recognize that with my contract in some way? And so St. Louis just not helping him out at all, no matter what they do.
Not at all. Either pay the man more or let him transfer so he can earn more. And you screw the guy in both terms. So, and we got a comment here from Shadow Wolf, choose buddy, gute Nacht. In Germany. Really appreciate the kind words. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning into this silly podcast. Speaking of bigger
4 a.m. your time.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I was gonna ask something about that with Sam really quick. Do you think with this going on, do you and the issues that we're having with not having a true number 9, do you think San Antonio makes that phone call and try to get him on another loan again if there's gonna be a falling out? Currently,
Rafa, don't tease me, Rafa.
I'm just saying because I know a lot of people are probably gonna ask that. You know, if there's gonna be a falling out with those two, you know, does San Antonio pick up that phone and say, hey, you know what, we'll take them off of your hands for the rest of the season, and then after that, you'll deal with them. If St. Louis wants to sell them, you know, they'll do what they need to do after the season. I think there's a possibility that could happen. We'll see. Don't get your hopes up. But like I said, I don't see that. I can see that happening if we continue to struggle.
Two things. Number one, I guarantee you Marcina has at least approached Ferrucci to call whoever the GM is at St. Louis to at least talk about it and to see if there's a possibility. And number two, if they don't want to transfer him to Europe, there's no way they're going to let him transfer to USL. Although that would be a lot easier of a transition for Big Sam to go to Europe is through USL and not through MLS, where you have 29 other owners that have to approve the deal in order for him to go, which is just a silly organization. It's not a league. It's an organization. It's a single entity. So I don't know what we're talking about. Anyway, so let's continue. Let's get off that. Speaking of bigger leagues than MLS, we do have a SAFC alumni that is most likely going to get promoted into the first division in his country, and that's Jose Gallegos. They drew today. Suniuska drew today, so they are a whole 3 points. They need one win in their next, 8 matches? to get on.
Yeah, so I was going to say they've got, I think it's technically, if you want to be technical, 4 points would guarantee it, but it's basically 3 points because they have such good goal difference, and they've got 6 matches left to do that. They're currently sitting in first place. I believe the team right behind them has a game in hand and is now 1 point behind, so they might jump back over Sandiyeska, but they're going to get promoted, and the... I talk about these top two, the third place team, the fourth place team, and the fifth place team are all like,
they're like 15 points behind. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like 99.999% that they're going to get promoted. So hopefully, you know, if you've got if you want to wake up early on a Saturday morning next year, or have a free Friday midday, you can check out some Sandiyeska online for free.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And you may still have that deal.
On 11, if they still have the deal with 11 Sports, exactly. Mm-hmm. We've all been there. What a platform. Anyway, so we're looking forward to that. We'll definitely come in here and report on Jose Gallegos getting promoted. Obviously, San Antonio FC, second division in the U.S., that's our big dream. And the second biggest dream for us is to see one of our players help a team get promoted in their country. So it'll be great to see. So moving right along, earlier today, we had the U.S. Open Cup draw for the fourth round, which is where San Antonio FC is going to enter in. And for the rest, I'm going to throw it to Rafa for the draw. Go ahead, Rafa.
Sure. So today, like I said, the announcements were for the U.S. Open Cup, or the Lamar Open Cup. So SAFC is in the round of 32. So we're got put into they're put them in four divisions, which is weird, but we're on the Onstad division. So on May 7th, so that our division includes Houston Dynamo, Detroit City FC, Indy 11, and ourselves. So on May 7th, we have the Houston Dynamo facing Detroit City. I believe that game's at Houston. And then May 8th, San Antonio FC will travel to Indy 11 for that game. And I think if we do win that game, and I think the winner of the Houston Dynamo and Detroit City game will play against us in the quarterfinals at Toyota Field, from what I've read.
Absolutely. So we got that to look forward to. Unfortunately, obviously the draw didn't go our way for hosting. But you know, we play Indy 11, good chance to beat them, and then hopefully we'll host either Detroit City. Maxi Rodriguez is Detroit City, or we'll try to get over our schneid against Houston Dynamo and in advance to the round of 16, the quarterfinals. So I don't even want to mention that. Don't even want to mention it. Not even worth mentioning. The city I went to high school, the city I learned to drive in. Yeah. No thanks. Anyway, moving right along. Matt can like his team from Houston. I've lived there. I know that. You from afar, it looks great. It's not. No thanks. Anyway, moving right along. We're just going to go straight into this. We're not going to do our transitions or anything. We're just going to go straight through. Try to get everything done because we got three games to talk about real quick, and we're going to try to get through this quickly. The first match that we have to kind of go over real quick is we played Monterey Bay 3 weeks ago now, and we came out on top with a 2-1 victory. And more on that match. Jonathan, fire away.
Yeah, March 30th, a 2-1 win for SAFC at home against Monterey Bay. That was the famous Carter Manley bicycle kick, which at first I wasn't even – it almost looked like an own goal to me, and then you can see – in fact, if you go into the intro, you know what? This is a great transition to a plug, I just realized. If you go back and look at our intro, we are using photos from Moments by Raz. If you've been in the San Antonio soccer community for a while, you've seen Raziel's mama on Twitter, I'm sure, a lot. Well, her daughter is now doing photography, and so she's been taking shots of SAFC games, and you can very clearly see it is a Carter Manley bicycle kick or overhead goal. So again, if you want to see that moment, and if you want to see how to contact Raz, check that out from the intro. But an early bicycle kick, and then SAFC got pegged back 1-1. But then Kevin Lambert finds that goal in, I believe it was like the 86th minute.
86th minute, right.
Yeah, gives SAFC, and it was a, I think he was denied at first, but then pokes it home. Really critical late goal, gives SAFC all 3 points. We could be feeling a fair bit different about this season if not for that late winner. So big goal there from a big player who showed up in a big moment. So that's really nice. And for that, Mitchell Tanner earned a spot on the USL Championship Team of the Week, and Jorge Hernandez was on the bench. Moving on, I don't know if there's anything y'all want to say about that match.
Just real quick. The Carter Manley bicycle goal was unbelievable. And Pepsi Red 456 brings up a really good point. And this is kind of where we go with the Machop Chol signing, trying to figure out what our strikers are, because our team leaders in goals right now are Carter Manley and Lucas Silva as a left wing back. So not ideal at all. And we gotta find those goals. So we gotta do. We gotta find those goals. We gotta find them from somewhere. Whether Ferruzzi gets on the horn and calls St. Louis and say, "Big Sam, come back, baby, come back. Get out of your deal, come back." Don't think that's ever gonna happen. That's really dream state. But hey, it is what it is. And also, Kevin Lambert with the flips. It's impressive, dude. That's a big dude doing backflips and handsprings. So very impressive. And the goal that Monterey Bay scored, real quick to kind of review it, it was on a set piece. And Bongu had a man that he lost as a marker, and that man got free, was completely open in the box, and put a really nice finish on the ball. No keeper in any league is saving that one. That was top bins on a set piece on a just a free volley, not getting saved. You know, it's a young player. And Bongu's what, 19? And that's just got to learn to defend in that position. That's all. That was your man. Stay marked on him, and that's it. So growing pain, shrug, move on. We got the win. And moving on to the next week, we took on Vegas. For more on Vegas, here's Jonathan.
Yeah, SAFC hit the road again for the second time this year. And this time, unlike the Tampa Bay match in the second week of the season, was not able to get a result. Comes away with a 1-0 loss. And I should mention, Luis Lignac was injured for that match, has been, for basically the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, was the injury report for SAFC. But anyway, so it was kind of a dull first half, and then the second, Las Vegas Lights, an actual, for perhaps the first time ever, a competent Las Vegas Lights team, scores a goal off of a kind of a rough deflection, it looks like, off of the pitch, snuck past Cisniega. He kind of gets down, maybe thought he had it, but it took a weird bounce, got past his hands. And for anyone who wants to blame the pitch and say, that's the only difference, Las Vegas was the better team. They had other solid chances that SAFC's defense and Cisniega were able to repel, but SAFC, just especially in that second half, was second best, was the team on the back foot. And so I think it's hard to say they should have gotten something from that. And I think even I think it was after this last match, Marcina said, it's been pretty much good performances except for Las Vegas Lights. And he was even saying after that one, a few guys had poor performances, and we need to reflect, we need to look at ourselves in the mirror and figure out how things went wrong here and what we need to do moving forward. Those results happen. Those unfortunate bounces happen. SAFC tries to learn from them. And that was the first match in a row that SAFC was blanked. And I don't know if you guys have anything else to say about this one. Obviously, yeah. There's no one from SAFC in the team of the week.
Right. Real quick. The most important bounce in any game is how you bounce back. You like that one? But no, the turf was terrible. Couldn't really put anything together. Because the turf was terrible, it seemed like the effort wasn't there. And Joey Batts paid for a very impressive, I don't know about how expensive it is, but a very impressive midfield. And that Vegas midfield's doing work. They've been doing work against a lot of teams. And I'll be very interested to see in the US Open Cup, speaking of, LAFC is scheduled to go into Vegas to play them at Cashman. We'll see how they fare there. We didn't fare that well, so we'll see, man.
Wouldn't be surprised if I haven't kept track of how many of their young and less experienced players have percolated up into the first team, but wouldn't be surprised if you had some former Lights in an LAFC jersey coming to play this new look Independent Lights team at Cashman Field. And can I also just say, how do they not have a good surface now that they are the sole tenant of that stadium? I mean, come on, really?
They're not. So the reason they don't have a good surface.
The XFL team or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Bingo! And they completely tore up the pitch.
Well, yeah, so. While the XFL is still in existence until another American minor football league goes under, because it seems inevitable at this point.
But, that's correct. And who knows, maybe they completely renovate Cashman again to bring the A's in, because the A's apparently are now going to play in Sacramento for three seasons in a Triple-A. What a disaster. Speaking of awful leagues, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, get your crap together. Anyway, moving on to the next game.
Yeah, and then this last match, like I said, Vegas was the first match where SAFC was blanked. This was the second match, SAFC with a scoreless draw at home against Orange County on April 13th, this past Saturday. Hey, a game that was actually in the last week. Look at us catching up. And it was, I guess really quick, going back to the Vegas game, SAFC's first loss under Alan Marcina. So not great, but hey, it had to happen eventually.
First loss against Vegas with Alan Marcina.
Sorry if I didn't mention Vegas, but yeah. So it happens. I will also say, by the way, I accidentally kind of slept on including Vegas low in my preseason rankings when we were doing this a couple months ago. And, you know, putting Vegas in like fifth or sixth or seventh, not looking too bad yet.
You know who else didn't sleep on Vegas is Clayton's from the Puro SAFC Puro SAFC podcast. Clayton's kid, his 6 year old, picked Vegas in the pick 'em four, and he leads the whole damn thing, a 6 year old. So everybody looks bad in that. Yeah. So. Yeah,
they're healthy right now.
Yeah, they have all of their first option players.
So we'll see how once they get the injuries to see how. I think once they get an injury in that midfield, see how that what happens there.
Are you going to bring the injuries, Rafa? Is that what you're saying? Just wait. No, I mean, even on that pitch,
they are in Vegas.
It's gonna be tough. Yeah, it's going to be tough to stay healthy on that pitch for sure.
Yeah.
So moving on to Orange County. Sorry.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry for that distraction. I just forgot that one bit about Vegas. But SAFC this past Saturday, first scoreless draw of the season against Orange County, an Orange County side that is undefeated so far this season, is top of the West right now, is looking fairly strong. So SAFC came out of that match, you know, obviously wishing they could have capitalized on some of their chances, particularly with Orange County having to put in their backup goalkeeper. Perhaps, you know, within the hour before the match, but SAFC tested him a couple times, and you know, even though they weren't able to find that goal, which is something that they're kind of mindful of, they're trying to figure out how to get past that. But they felt, you know, okay, we're creating these good chances. Eventually, they'll go in. So SAFC was, I think it's fair to say, the better team there. Unfortunate not to get all 3 points, but at the same time, the opportunities are there, and this is the part of the season when it's more acceptable to have that, where it's like, all right, the positive signs are there, we just need things to click, or we need, you know, one or two extra pieces to finish this off, we just need better finishing. So it'll come. SAFC is optimistic about that. We'll check in a few weeks and a month, see if that optimism is warranted or if it's, you know, a 1 month goal drought. But yeah, no players in the team of the week. And should also mention the injury report was a little longer for that match. Luis Lignac still out for SAFC, as well as Carter Manley now and Hugo Mabongu. And with Manley's absence, that was the first change in the defense this year. And so Trovaboni, who came in couple months before the end of last season and rejoined SAFC for this season. He came in, and I don't know about you guys, but to me, no news is good news. You know, if we're not talking about him after the match, if he was part of a team that kept a clean sheet, slotted in pretty effectively, that's all you can ask. And I suppose the other thing you can ask is that he does such a good job that Carter Manley has to show up and fight for his spot back. We'll see what happens, you know, whenever he's fit again. But Boney, I'm sure now that he has that opportunity, and you see it all the time, sometimes an injury for one key player is an opportunity for another to step up and, you know, rise to the occasion. And we've even seen it in an SAFC jersey before. Sometimes a guy you don't expect seizes that position, and the rest is history.
Absolutely. And I will say just a couple things. You covered the Bonnie thing. I was going to mention that. Bonnie rocked it. What this really does allow is for Carter to come back 100% healthy. In the past, Carter's come back too quickly and he's re-injured himself and he's been out longer. We have seen that before. We've seen that play out. So it's good that we have dependable options in the defense for sure. Bonnie rocked it, man. Bonnie looked really good. He looked comfortable in that back line. I'm sure Tanner and Burks make it easy, but they looked really good. And at the same rate, I think the reason Wendbischler didn't come in was because earlier in the week he was on the injury report as well, but he wasn't for the match. And I think that was just an availability thing. So I don't think he started because, you know, of recent injury. Bonnie was fully healthy. Bonnie gets the call and he rocked it, man. Clean sheet. Can't argue against that. That's great. We just got to figure it out going forward. And with a lot of teams, the toughest thing to figure out is the back line and the defense. It seems like we have that pretty stable. We got to figure out the offensive part. And I think we have some quotes regarding that. We'll go into it real quick. I'll go slightly out of order here. We'll talk about SAFC's upcoming match against Hartford. And Jonathan interviewed one of the players to talk about looking forward to that match and possibly some changes in their overall strategy and their tactics. Jonathan, you want to go over that real quick?
Yeah, not a direct quote, but again, going back to how we talked to Machop Chol at training today for the first time since he joined SAFC a couple of weeks ago, he did mention that the team is implementing a few things to just kind of slightly tweak and increase their chances of getting into better scoring positions, creating better opportunities. And it was in particular that he mentioned getting into those different areas. It's not like some sort of different strategy when they get into the same places, at least according to what he said. So that'll just be something interesting to look for against Hartford, against Miami in the next couple weeks, as we watch SAFC on the road for their first consecutive away matches of the season. But then also, Chol said some of it just comes down to belief and, you know, in some cases, hunger. And I mean, SAFC's had that mentality and gotten past it before. So I guess until it doesn't work, you trust them. But I'm always a little wary of the whole, you know, we just have to believe in ourselves, because to me that it sounds like a bit of a platitude. But, you know, we'll find out how it turns out. We'll see.
Hey, it worked for Richmond AFC, right? So
true story.
So gotta believe. Anyway, so Rafa, yeah, your thoughts on the upcoming, on the past three matches plus the upcoming match against Hartford.
I think you see from these three matches, well, really even starting from the base games, we're noticing we're having issues finishing in the back, you know, on the attacking third. And if, when I know we watched some of the games there, you know, you can see some hesitation about look. I think they're trying to look for the perfect, you know, pass or shot instead of letting it just kind of, hey, ricochet, you know, we'll get the ricochet off, or, you know, we'll get a tap in. You know, I think they need to kind of, as you mentioned about faith, you know, having faith on that, they got to actually trust themselves on those plays. you know, and like I said, sometimes the ball will bounce your way, but I think they gotta be more, I'm not saying more risk, but they gotta be more aggressive when it comes to that, you know, and because is this the time to hit the panic button about not being able to score? Because, or do we need to revamp the people up front to create those opportunities? Because we've actually, you know, like I said, dominated possession, and I think even passing accuracy is a lot better. It's the one thing is we just can't finish. And then I think we only had two shots on goal. I think on goal, it has to be a lot better. And hopefully coming up in this game, we'll see what changes they make. You know, maybe some, you know, something, you know, I guess a different approach coming up top. But as far as defensive wise, we're doing great there. Like I said, defense does win games. You know, Bonnie, great. You know, I think that if there was a man of the match, he should have actually gone to the man of the match. He made those two key blocks, you know, those saves right there against Orange County. And he looked very comfortable playing in the back three compared to that game against, you know, the other game against Tulsa where he just looked lost. Yeah. So there's some upside that, like I said, at least we have some good depth on the defensive side. But the main thing is just fixing what we can do. We can fix up top.
For sure. And I know when they announced the re-signing of Bonnie in the offseason, I kind of was like, really? That's what we're going to do? And the last game against Orange County really put my mind at ease. Like, okay, they know what they have with them. It's just a fluke. Just one of those things. They try to put him in the midfield. He wasn't comfortable. But in the back line, dude's a killer. Dude's an assassin. So, man, everybody, thanks for joining us. Going to just transition real quick to some news. Something to look forward to, and then we're going to give our final thoughts and get out of here. So the news that we have that they announced, well, right before that, sorry, got ahead of myself. Let's talk standings real quick. It is a little too early to be table watching, but hey, you know what we do? We're the Way Too Early podcast. We don't have our resident panicker here. But we'll look at the table. So SAFC currently is in sixth in the West, but SAFC is only 3 points out from first. So once again, way too early to look. Yes, we're sixth. We're only 3 points out of first. So grain of salt on that one. We're fine. Hopefully they get their form. We get this thing in gear, and we look back at, you know, this two-game stretch is just kind of a little blip in the radar. So anyway, with the news, moving on, we did get news of an announcement that the mayor's going to be at some other dignitaries for certain teams that I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but I'll just leave it at that. Teams are going to be at the Alamo Dome this coming Tuesday, April 23rd. At 9:30 a.m. for a major sports announcement. Rumor has it that it may be two soccer clubs, and it may be two soccer clubs from right down I-35, not north but south. So look forward to that. We'll report on it when it does get announced. Of course, my dog drinks water. Hopefully that didn't go through because she drinks water loud. So we'll talk about that when it is announced, like I said. But that's something to look forward to. Very exciting for the city and for the mayor to be present and other dignitaries. They're taking this thing seriously, so it sounds like a very serious announcement. It's not just Atletico San Luis coming in and playing a scrimmage against SAFC, or even Pumas coming in playing SAFC in a scrimmage. It sounds like it's going to be something more than, or a friendly, I guess, is what you're supposed to say in soccer. So it sounds like something more serious than that. So it's definitely something to look forward to. And that brings us to final thoughts. Rafa, I'll swing it to you for final thoughts first. What's your final thought?
Just final thought, like I said, like I'm looking forward for the game on Saturday versus Hartford. So hopefully we can steal some 3 points on the road, kind of get back on track offensive wise. And then also just a little shout out to, like I said, Coach Connell on the 55th podcast. We just completed Texas High School Soccer. So congrats to the team, especially the Burning Boys and Girls. Great season. Just fell a game short, but hey, same finalists for both teams. So shout out to them. And then, just like I said, looking forward to, like I said, if you have a chance for the watch parties, you know, whether the Crocketeers or the FTC in 210, make sure to head out there. Make sure to bring an umbrella. I heard it might rain a lot. So be safe on the road, and also everybody be safe there if you do any fiesta activities. You know, but make sure, you know.
Yeah, be safe if you're going to fiesta. Rafa, you kind of cut out there, just kind of finish up. Yeah, look at the forecast, dress accordingly. Looks like it might storm on Saturday, so definitely be careful. And from what you were saying earlier, Rafa, Coach Cano's school lost both of their games by the same score, correct? In the playoffs?
I was up from the 50-50 podcast because I was with Bernie High boys and girls.
Oh, that's right. That's the one you were saying.
They lost in the final. But congratulations to them. Like I said, they had a great season, but also to our other teams too. So we're looking forward for next year. Hopefully we can get some state titles next year.
Absolutely. That close. Great season though. Great season. Absolutely. Jonathan, final thoughts?
Yeah. First of all, while the thought is in my head, you know, the crazy thing about championships is one team can win them and you've got dozens, potentially hundreds, in this case, around the state that don't. So it's a tough thing to achieve. And sometimes the journey is just as compliment worthy, regardless of if you go all the way or not. I will also say, because you mentioned watch parties, I don't know if we mentioned the specific time for SAFC's match against Hartford. It is going to be 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central. So it's a couple hours earlier than normal. So if you're going to go to a watch party, if you're going to watch from home, whatever you're doing, be aware that it's not the usual nighttime. It's not even, you know, 6:30 or anything. Again, 4. So be ready. If you turn on a TV at 6:30 or 7 or 7:30, you're looking at highlights. So enjoy those. And I'll also just say it's a good thing that we were finally able to get back to recording these. We're able to catch up for a few weeks of Easter and family things and tax season. So we finally made this happen. I'm assuming maybe we do Sunday, try and get back to our regular rhythm. But if not, it shouldn't be nearly as long of a break as we are coming back from. So hopefully we can get back into that rhythm again. And I'll be seeing you guys and our viewers and all them soon.
Absolutely. That is the plan, is Sunday, and just continue with Sundays. From here on out, obviously we got, kind of end of family stuff and just kind of life happened, and our apologies for sure. But like I said, thanks for tuning in. My final thought real quick. I've been, you know, advertising the Mike Taylor charity barbecue cook-off. And it happened a couple weeks ago. Also had to recover from that. I was all day in the sun. Plus, took my kid to the air show that following Sunday. So that was a fun weekend of getting nothing but sun. But it was great. We ended up raising a little over $18,000 for the Salvation Army Boys and Girls Club there off of Peacock Avenue. So it was a very successful event. Thanks for everybody that came out. It's a lot of fun. We're going to do it again next year. So absolutely join in and help us raise some money for a good cause. So, but I appreciate y'all tuning in. Try to keep it short, try to go over everything, man. Thanks for sticking with us. Really appreciate it. Have a good night. What's life without goals? See ya.